I hope that you can say amen to that today. This next one is one of those songs I was sharing with First Service. When I first started off in ministry, I was doing youth ministry, and I was dealing with all different people in the congregation. What always amazed me is the way that some people would act that would surprise me. And it wasn't a good surprise, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd find people, I'm going, wow, you're the church. I thought that you would say that different. Or you're the church, and I thought that you would have a different attitude than I'm seeing right now. And I found it very interesting in that transition to realize that sometimes being part of the family of God wasn't as easy as I thought it should be, right? And so when some of those discouraging moments would come upon me and I would go, Lord, I just don't understand, his answer was always the same. He'd say, I don't want you to see that, right? There's maybe some growing or some maturity that needs to happen there. I don't want you to see that. Those are maybe some bad habits that I've had nothing to do with. I don't want you to see that. I want you to see me. And when I focused on God alone, it was amazing how much junk kind of faded away. And how he focused me and how he encouraged me and how he gave me the things that I needed to continue on in the journey that he had called me to. This is one of those songs that I would sing just when I would get alone. It's called In the Secret. And it was one of those songs that just reminded me of what was important. So you guys, some of you know it. Let's sing along. Again, I hope that you know what you believe and why you believe it. And I love the way that Scripture is used in many of our worship songs. And it's, again, it's that reminder of this is what we proclaim today. And we proclaim it because we believe it. It is our foundation. This is one of those songs. It's called One Name. It's very simple, but it has some pretty big statements. Let's sing it out.
Confessing my sin, baptized in water, filled with the Holy Ghost, washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Guys, I hope that you make a habit of praising the Lord. You know, it's amazing to me that when we're going through a valley or we're going through a struggle or if we've got a burden that's been kind of put upon our shoulders that maybe we weren't even looking for, one of the disciplines that I have is I start thanking God for all the blessings in my life. And if you will focus on Him and you will praise Him, you will find out that it changes maybe not your circumstance right at the moment, but it changes your attitude. It changes who you are. It gives you a courage and a peace within that maybe you didn't have before. And so there's many, many reasons every day to bless the Lord, to praise His name. And I hope that you would make it a habit. Let's sing 10,000 Reasons. Next one, guys, I just want us to sing it to the Savior. Let's sing it out. Kirtland is coming at this time, which is pretty awesome. I'm going to be doing junior church second service, so we like to get me on the schedule and get me down there. I love having fun with the kids at times, but it's one of those scheduled times where we know that Kirtland can kind of jump in and use some of his gifts for us to see. Of course, he speaks each week at Kids for Christ and youth in different ways. Yeah, those are my baby waters. I was tired of Allison only drinking half a water, so I bought her baby waters. So it's not a reflection upon you, although with your hands, it's probably easier to hold. Why did I have to go there, hey? Elias makes fun of Kirtland's hands, and it's become a family thing. But he's family, so you know what? We make fun of Elias, too. It's all fair. Anyway, you know what? I am so proud of Kirtland that he has been able to hold everything together that he has been doing over the last few years. And this is the summer where he gets ordained. And we couldn't be more proud of him. And so we're so glad for his obedience, right? You know, when you're a kid and you say, wow, I'm thinking of getting married, and I have no money, and there seems to be no way forward, but I feel like God is calling me to ministry. What do we do? And he stepped out in faith, and here we are coming to the reward of all of that. So we praise the Lord for you, brother. Preach the word.
Thank you. That on, is it? Cool. All right. Yeah. We were thinking about that this past week. Pastor Tim, who used to be here, who's down the neck now, actually, he stopped in. He saw me getting out of my car one day and stopped in, and we were talking about it. It's hard to believe, but I've been here over 5 years now, which is pretty wild. It was 2017, January, when he went down there, and I got brought on his staff. But time flies, eh? Man. Yeah, thank you. Love you guys, too. Last weekend we finished up on our Esther series, which it was really cool for me, just because of kind of, I think the atmosphere of what was going on in the book of Esther, it resonated with me anyway. Me and Ethan were talking about this yesterday, but like, I don't know, since we've come out of the lockdowns over this past, you know, few weeks, I guess, it's kind of felt like that 2 years was a little bit of a blur, right? I'm looking back at it, and I'm like, it's just like a weird dream, and I'm barely remembering stuff that happened, and it was like super strange, right? But Esther was this atmosphere of how no matter how dark or hopeless or lonely things get or weird things are in your world, you know, recognizing the truth that God is in control brings a lot of peace and kind of helps you work through some of that stuff. So that book was really neat for me to work through. But what was also really neat for me last week, because I find it pretty therapeutic, I guess, is last weekend was the first weekend of sport fishing season opening up. And I love, anybody here like fishing? Yeah? It's like, man, I love it. And so last weekend after church, me and Ethan went out fishing. I've loved fishing these past few years. Growing up, I did not like fishing. And I think it's like when you're a kid, you're kind of bad at fishing. And so like whenever Dad would take me fishing, I would never catch anything. I'd watch Hidden Catch stuff. I'm like, this is dumb. Like, we're just sitting out in the woods, and it's boring, and there's nothing happening. But now it's like, that's so peaceful. And then when you do catch something, the thrill and the exhilaration that comes with that when a fish bites is so much fun. But we're sitting out there, and it's just like bubbling brook and just nobody really anywhere, and you just hear nature, and it's beautiful, right? It was so cool. And so, like I said, Ethan and I left after church last week to go hit up a couple of our trout fishing spots. And would anybody here consider themselves to be relatively good fishermen, fisherwomen? Yeah, relatively good, few hands, right? It's like, I'm not saying, like, you got to be awesome. I'm just saying, like, you know, you caught some fish, you're pretty good. What's that? I'm awesome. Yes, I am the definition of what you said initially. Yeah, yeah. No. So not so many hands there, but fishing is one of those things where, you know, kind of few people are really good at it. But how many here have ever tried fishing at least once in their life? Okay, yeah, so there's a few more hands, and that's the funny thing is, like, fishing's one of those things where some people are great at it, but anyone can do it, right? And it's kind of a neat idea when it comes to fishing, and that's why I wanted to highlight that point about fishing, is that some people are really great at it, but anyone can do it. And my granddad, who passed away when I was, like, I think I was, like, 16, so 10 years ago, which is pretty wild, but he was arguably one of the best fishermen around, and I know people, everybody says that, like, oh, yeah, my granddad or my relative, they're the best there is. But this guy was actually, like, insane, right? And he was a bit of a strange fella, if you knew who he was. He lived off the land. He very rarely had a home. He didn't have a job or anything. Like, he was kind of like a hermit, and it was really normal for me growing up, and then looking back, I'm like, he was a weird guy. Like, he was pretty strange. But since his passing, I've heard a lot of really neat stories from his family, because I never did a ton with my granddad, but he was a huge outdoorsman. I remember a couple walks he'd take me on where it was like he just knew everything about nature. And so anyway, his brother has told me some stories since he passed away. And stories about how my granddad could catch fish in the craziest ways. And one of the coolest stories that he had about my granddad was revolving around something like this. And it was kind of cool that I ended up being able to get this. But for instance, his brother would have the nicest, newest, awesome fishing gear, and they would go out to the trout fishing holes. And while his brother is fishing and having a hard time catching anything, my granddad is fashioning one of these things out of a stick that he finds in the woods, some shoelace, and then a fishing hook at the end. And so he'd make these things, and his brother's getting frustrated because he's trying to catch something. And it would be embarrassing for him to tell this story, and I think that's why I never heard these stories while my granddad was still alive. But, like, he would make one of these things, and his brother tells me, like, he would just toss it out in the water and pull out these foot-long trout with these sticks. And he's like, it made him so angry because he'd spend so much money on fishing gear and having the nicest, coolest stuff. And then my granddad would literally go out in the woods and pick a stick off a tree and make one of these, right? And he'd be able to catch stuff. And so that's kind of the neat thing. Like, some people are great at fishing, but anyone can fish. My granddad understood how trout worked. He knew what they liked to eat. He knew their habits. He knew where in the body of water they would swim. He understood how the currents worked. He knew what time of day it had to be, the weather. Like, he just knew fish. Some people are great at fishing, but the cool thing is that anyone can fish. Fishing was the illustration that Jesus used when he called his first disciples, which were, pop quiz, I just listed a bunch of them, Peter and Andrew, right? And so when he called them to follow him, Matthew 4:19 says, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." Or, as many of us will know the verse in the King James, "And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," right? And it's pretty widely accepted that the calling that was given to Peter that day is the calling that all Christians kind of share, which is lead as many people as we can to Jesus. And it's as simple as that, right? And for some of us, the topic of leading people to Jesus or inviting people to church is absolutely terrifying. It might be weird for a pastor to say, but bringing up my faith in conversation is something that I'm still really working on. Because it really scares me. Because when I do, I'll get nervous. My words will get twisted up in my mouth. I'll make a conversation awkward because I don't know the right time to bring it up. And so I'm still working through some of that stuff. I think I've gotten better and better at it as I've thought about it and worked on it. But evangelism has been one of them things that, like, it's been tricky for me, right? Like I said, I think I'm getting a little bit better at it. On the other hand, there's some of you who have no problem sharing your faith at all. Bring it up anytime, right? And it's just like a second nature for you, and I admire it. It's clearly one of your spiritual gifts. I've told Andrew this, and I give him props for this. I've seen that guy turn any conversation into helping random people realize that they need Jesus. And I'm like, how did you do that? Like, how did you bring it up like that? Like, I don't get it. It's just, it's not all of our strength that some people have it. And I guess the people that I'm kind of talking to today are the ones who resonate a little bit with me, where it's tough for you. Would any of you admit that it's uncomfortable for you to share your faith? And it's okay. Like, I'm right here with you. I'm not asking you to put your hand up for something that I'm not also admitting to. I don't mind talking about my faith once in a while on my own terms, but when Jesus convicts me to evangelize at a particular moment, I just get this knot in my stomach and I get nervous. And like, I'm excited that he wants to use me, but terrified at the same time, right? And it's funny, like, there's so many hands that went up right there. And I'm sure there's a lot of hands that were just too scared to go up, and that's okay. It's so common for us to be uncomfortable with sharing our faith, which is a weird thing, to be honest with you, because we don't do that with anything else. It's like, if you're excited about something, you want to tell people about it. Like, if I find a really good restaurant, I find somewhere that I really like to eat, and the food is amazing, and my experience was great, I'm excited to tell my friends about it. I want to be the one who, if that's the place that we decide to go regularly, I want to be able to hold it over everyone that, yeah, I recommended this place. Like, this was the place that I decided that we should eat. Now we eat here all the time, right? And it's like, we like that. We like when we can suggest something that other people like, except for maybe with our faith sometimes, right? And it's like with fishing. If I find a really good fishing spot, you know, sometimes I'll hide the really good ones. But like, for the most part, I want to tell my friends because I love fishing. I love fishing with them. I want everyone to enjoy it. And I want to have a spot that I recommended that we all go. It's just a really cool feeling. But faith just seems a little bit different, right? And what makes it different? I want you to think about that for a second. Think about it in your head right now. What makes you most terrified? What makes you most nervous to share your faith with someone else? Think about that for a second. What makes me so weirded out by the idea of sharing faith with someone, even if the opportunity seems perfect? Like, I can tell Jesus is just, he's working in my heart, and he's saying, you need to bring something up, you need to say something. What makes us so scared to do that in that moment? Think about that. Think about that. Think about that. What is it for you? Maybe, I'll list a couple. Maybe you're self-conscious about your own flaws. Maybe. And maybe that's not it for you. But maybe you know that people know that you aren't perfect. So what if they call you out on that when you try and tell them about Jesus or invite them to church? Right? They say, well, who are you to try and get me to look into church or religion? Like, I know you. I know your past. What are you talking about? Right? Maybe we're nervous about that. Truth is, nobody's perfect, though. And that's why we all need this. This is why we need Jesus. Jesus is recorded to have healed so many people during his ministry, which is why we call him the great physician, the great doctor, right? We go to doctors for checkups, and we go to doctors when we're sick and when we're broken. And that's why we need Jesus. That's why we come to church. That should never be something that someone can hold over you, because you can testify, you're right, I am messed up. And I was even more messed up before, but it's a lot better now. I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better when I come to church. It rejuvenates me. Just being able to sit back and soak it in and find ways to apply biblical truth to my life, it heals me. Church is meant for those who realize that they aren't perfect, right? And so Jesus always used imperfect people to evangelize. So don't let that hold you back. Don't let that hold you back. Don't let that be something that people can throw in your face. Maybe it's not that, though. Maybe you've come to terms with that idea. Maybe you're afraid that you won't have all the answers. Maybe you're worried that they'll push you on something or question you on something that you're not prepared for, because let's face it, faith is maybe a little bit new. You haven't dove as deep as some other people have. Maybe even people who don't go to church. Maybe they know a little bit more than you, or you're worried about that at least, right? You're worried that maybe you bring up faith or invite them to church and they hit you with something like, well, if God is real, then why do bad things happen to good people? And you're like, oh, I didn't expect that, right? I was just inviting you to church. And then before you can get an answer out, they're like, how could an all-loving God send people to hell? And you're like, and they're like, how could Noah get two of every animal on the ark? And you're like, never mind, don't come to church. I don't care, right? It's like, we panic if we get pushed too hard and if we get overwhelmed by the idea that people might know more than we do about our faith.
Maybe that's why you don't share. And to that I say that I heard a really, really cool quote a while back about sharing your faith with other people by a man named Todd Mullins. And this quote is so cool. It's so cool. You don't have to be an attorney, you're a witness. Whew, that takes a lot off your shoulders when you can realize that. You don't have to be attorney, you're a witness. Okay, you don't have to build a case and defend every argument that comes against Jesus or Christianity or religion. If that's not your calling, then don't let that come with the fact that you're called to share your faith. You don't have to be an attorney, you're just a witness. And you know what each and every witness does have? A testimony. A testimony. You have a testimony, and you don't have to be a biblical scholar to share your faith experience with others, right? You know why you became a Christian. You know why you come to church. You know why you chose to accept Christ into your heart. Share that. Any argument that comes up against you, who's going to be able to argue your testimony? It's your story, right? It's your experience. No one can say, that's not true. What do you mean it's not true? That's my experience. That's what brought me to my faith. That's been my experience with Jesus. You don't need all the answers. Just get them here. Get them to attend church. Get them to check it out. And then, for that matter, if they have a ton of questions, me and Andrew are here. It's like, man, send them to us. Because we don't mind that. Right? Just get them here. Invite them to church. For some of the people that you see all the time, whether at work or in your friend group or anything like that, maybe all they need is an invitation to church for them to give it a try. Maybe they're waiting for it. Who knows? I mean, I'm not saying everybody is, but maybe. Maybe some are. Maybe you're the only one in their life that would ever invite them to church. Maybe. Maybe they need it. Maybe they're going through some stuff that you'd never know about. Lord knows the pandemic has been hard on all of us, right? And let's face it, you guys don't necessarily share all your personal lives with your coworkers, your personal struggles, what's going on in your spirit, what's going on in your head, what's going on in your home life. We don't just spew all that out at our coworkers. So why on earth would you know about what they're going through? Why would they share that with you? Who knows who needs an invitation to church? As far as I'm concerned, everybody needs an invitation to church. So what would it hurt? And what would it hurt? It's casual in conversation. Say, hey, do you got any Easter plans this long weekend? We all talk about that. Whenever there's a long weekend, it comes up in conversation. What are you doing this long weekend, right? And they tell you about fishing, right? Well, you're also coming to church. That's what I'm getting to, right? So they tell you about plans that they have or maybe that they have nothing going on. And you just listen. You just listen. And usually what happens is then they're like, why? What are you doing? Right? And you can tell them, hey, my church is having an Easter service on Sunday. You want to come? I don't know. It's as casual as that. You want to come to church? I'm going to church, 9 or 11, right? Whatever, you guys, it's 9. You know, what time would you want to go, right? Or maybe they don't want to. There's no need to be ashamed about it. What's the worst thing that they say? No, I'm good. No, I hate church. No, religion sucks. Okay, that's not for you. It's okay, right? That doesn't mean it can't be for you, and it doesn't mean that you can't invite someone else. Right, I think about this, the first time that I ever came to youth group, I told you guys last time I preached about the first time I actually came into here, and that was for a NASCAR race that was on the big screen, but the first time that I ever got invited to youth group was when I was like 15 years old and a friend invited me. I wouldn't have come alone. I grew up in Bear River, back in the woods. I didn't come to town much, right? And so it's like the only way that I would have came here was with someone else. I knew the church was here, I knew about youth group, I knew about all that, but I wasn't going to go alone. But when I was invited, I came out, I loved it, I started coming on my own, I got to know people, and whether my friend was coming or not, this was my place. If faith is as valuable to you and as awesome for you in your life as you claim it is, then why don't you want to share it with others? Why don't you want to at least just bring it up casually in conversation? Church is really good for me. Do you want to give it a try? I don't know. You can go with me. I don't care. If faith is as valuable and as awesome as it is, why don't you want to share it with others? Here's an example. There's millions and millions and millions of mackerel in the ocean, right? So when I find a wharf or I find a spot or I find a spot on the wharf or a time of day or a tide where the fish are biting and it's working really good, I'll tell strangers if I think it's going to make their day better. Because there's so much to go around. It's not going to hurt me, right? There's so much to go around. There is enough of Jesus to go around. So don't hide them. Share them with others. If you think it'll make their life better, if you think, man, they might be going through something, share your faith with them. Who knows? Maybe it's exactly what they need. And I'm sure there's someone in here who the first time you came was through an invitation from someone else. In the book of John, we read in chapter 1. I just want to close with this story because it's really cool. We read in the book of John in chapter 1 about a man named Philip who finds Jesus and he decides to follow Jesus and he's super pumped about it. Jesus changed his life, and so what does he do? He runs off to go find a friend named Nathanael. So John 1, 45, 46. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the guy. We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and whom the prophets also wrote. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." He's excited. He's like, this has changed my life, right? And in very realistic fashion, Nathanael, his friend, doesn't lock arms with Philip and skip down the path to go find Jesus, right? Just like doesn't usually happen with us when we invite people into our faith, right? He responds in the way that most people will, skepticism and doubt. Nathanael says, "Nazareth, can anything good even come from there?" At which point, Philip proceeds to enter into a three-hour-long theological debate, which led to the end of their friendship. No, that's not what happened, right? Philip didn't have to defend it. What did he say? This is all he said. Come and see. Come see. Come see what I'm talking about. Philip didn't have to be Jesus' attorney. He just had to be a witness. He just had to be a witness. He couldn't explain how Jesus did what he did or what was happening in his life, but he did know that it changed him. And he wanted his friend to experience the same thing. Does anybody have a Bible on him this morning? We used to do this back in my home church. Can someone read for me John 1, 47 to 50? John 1, 47 to 50. I saw Andrew put his hand up. Do you want to look it up and read it? Do you mind? You got it right here? John 1, 47 to 50. You want to read it out loud? Awesome. Thank you. Just plant the seed. Just plant the seed. We don't have to do the hard stuff. We have a Savior who does that. We don't have to perform the miracles. So next week is Easter, and like Andrew was saying, it's arguably one of the easiest times to invite someone to church other than Christmas. And at this moment, you're getting a pit in your stomach, and you're saying, oh, please don't ask me to invite people to church. That's exactly what I'm going to ask you to do, okay? Can we try and fill this place next week? Like, I brought this up to the Kids for Christ group this week. I kind of centered my lesson around a similar thing. And I said, guys, how fun is it to be invited to something? And they're like, it's so good. And they were telling me all these things that they've been invited to that they love. I was like, why is it so cool to be invited? And they're like, I don't know, I guess because it means that they want you there. I'm like, yeah, exactly. I'm not asking you to beg people to come to church. I'm just asking for you to pray, like earnestly pray that God would reveal someone in your life that needs an invitation to church. And if it's on your heart and it's on your mind, someone will jump out, okay? Just casually invite them. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be crazy. Just invite them. And maybe they say no, and that's okay. I'm not going to be looking around and seeing who has someone at church with them next week. I'm just saying I want you to take this on yourself to invite somebody. I don't catch fish every time I go fishing. Just ask my friends. They'll gladly tell you. But that doesn't mean that I don't fish. And so please, like, invite someone to church. Invite someone to church. Does it mean anything to you? Does this place mean anything to you? I sure hope it does. Invite someone to church. I'm going to do it too. I'm going to pray about it today. I'm going to pray about it this week, and I'm going to invite someone to church. I don't know who it's going to be. And arguably, it's harder for pastors to do that because people always expect pastors to talk about religion with them. And so when I bring it up, it's going to be even a little more awkward, right? But for you guys, man, that could be something that somebody needs. That could be just a random person in your life, and that might be exactly what they need. The joy that comes with leading someone to church and in turn maybe leading them to Jesus is a pretty wild and incredible feeling. It's better than any fish you can catch. So I guess that's my challenge, right? Join me in that. Because you think about it, like, and this is part of my testimony, I guess. A big part of faith and a big part of what makes my faith so important to me is kind of brought out in this story of Jesus calling Peter to ministry. When Jesus called Peter to follow him, he never offered Peter riches or glory or power or wealth or any of those things. But you know what Jesus offered Peter? Purpose in life. Like meaning. Something to do with himself. Something meaningful, something bigger than himself. He said, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. I offer you, Peter, a role in something that will last for all of eternity. Church, will you join me in an effort in trying to build the kingdom? We're coming out of this pandemic. This is a time where people are looking. Me and Andrew have talked about it. Like, we've seen a lot of people and talked to a lot of people who are seeking. And some of those people are probably just waiting for an invitation. Some people are going to be annoyed by it. That's all right. I'm not asking you to go around and invite everybody. Oh, that'd be pretty cool. But, like, just pray about it. It's got to start somewhere. So let's start with something simple. Invite someone to church next week. It's not a big idea. I'm not leaving you with something that you have to go home and digest in your head. Like, what was he actually talking about? It's super simple. Like, just invite someone to church next week. Okay? No one said okay, but that's all right. I know you're with me, okay? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for salvation. Oh, thank you for salvation. Thank you for life with you. God, it's so, so good to be able to dive into your presence regularly. Lord, give us the boldness to just tell people about you. That's my prayer. Amen.